And now time for our letters. Joining me to sift through the mail is editor Sasha Woodruff. Hey, Sasha.
Hey, Fry. How are you?
I am doing great. So what are listeners talking about this week?
Well, we got a couple of letters about a segment we did on Tuesday about the history of white slavery in the United States. Lee Hicks in South Carolina loved the interview we did with one of the authors of the new book, White Cargo. Here's what she wrote. Thank you so much for the discussion of white slavery. I tell people that some of my ancestors were indentured servants, and they laugh at me. They think because I have blue eyes, red hair, and white skin, I couldn't have ancestors who lived as slaves. My great-great-greats were Irish and looked a lot like me.
But not all of our listeners were applauding that segment. Mae Gentry in Atlanta, Georgia, took issue when we used the word slave to refer to white people. She wrote us about some of her ancestors, including an indentured servant who was shipped here from England. Mae writes, after her indenture term was completed, she married the first mate of the ship on which she had sailed to these shores. Together, they owned a 133-acre plantation and black slaves. They also enjoyed the privilege of being white. I have African ancestors as well, who received nothing for their decades of forced labor, who were not free to marry or acquire property, and whose children were born into slavery. NPR, I expect better. Mae, thank you for sharing your family history. We did discuss the reasons that slavery in America evolved into specifically enslaving Africans and their descendants. But we also talked about the ways that, during the era of indentured servitude, white children were taken from one land to another, forced to work, and died en masse before ever having a chance at freedom. The authors of White Cargo write, "Slavery is not defined by time but by the experience of its subject." Whether you agree with their statement is, of course, for you to decide.
Last week, one of our listeners complained that the show focused too much on black issues. Here's how you responded.
Our mission is, and I'm quoting here because we have it up on a big poster board, to illuminate the diversity of the African-American experience. As we do that, we hope to shine light on other folks' experiences as well. But the bottom line is, this is Black News and Notes. But everyone's welcome to listen.
Black phenomenon.
Well, that response got a lot of responses this week, including one from listener John Watson Jr. in Albany, Georgia. I'm a black listener who feels just as the white collar. On the webpage, the word black is not in the official title. NPR is universal, not segregated. If News and Notes really wants to help blacks, then do as Bill Cosby and shift the attention of blacks to our real failures, which is us, not the U.S.
But Devin Stokesbury in Cincinnati, Ohio, had a different take on the issue. Thanks for sticking to your mission, illuminating the diversity of the African-American experience. It's one radio show, 1 hour out of 24 hours of programming, 1 hour focused on stories about the over 30 million people that are African-American.
And that's it for News and Notes letters this week, but please keep yours coming.
To write us, just log on to npr.org and click on Contact Us. When you get there, you'll see lots of shows to choose from. Make sure you pick News and Notes when you write to us.
And be sure to tell us where you're writing from and how to pronounce your name.
Thanks, Sasha.
No problem. See you next week.
That's our show for today. Thank you for sharing your time with us. To listen to the show or subscribe to our podcast, visit our website, nprnewsandnotes.org. To join the conversation or sign up for our newsletter, visit our blog at nprnewsandviews.org. News and Notes was created by NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. What should you do when you're stopped by the police? Tomorrow we talk to experts, including a police officer, about how to protect your rights.